Live.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255, 458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? And it's another great day in Fairbanks. Every day is a great day. The sun is shining, if you can see it, and the temperature is 65 degrees this morning, the cool part of the day, smoky. And one of my friends in the evacuation area had to evacuate last year, same area, and again this year. So, Murph, I am wishing you strength to deal with all this again. And here at the KFAR Broadcasting Station, Melissa Burnett is expertly running the board, and big thank yous to Melissa. And Melissa keeps the archives up to date for us, so if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day. Now, what is on our agenda today? Nuts. Our holiday today has to do with nuts. The rest of the program will be about gear. I want to talk about the Rick Young Outdoors Ultralight Bino Harness. We'll also cover my opinions about several revolver speed loaders. For our semi-auto listeners, I'll talk about the Speed Bees auto loader, plus mention Maglula's Up Lula in comparison. And we'll talk about the Enigma holster by Philster. It's Philster. After we talk about purse carry and minimalist or trigger guard holsters. And when I get back from my trip, I'll talk about the Bone Dry, that is Bone DRI, rust prevention gun cases and other accessories, and also the MTM ammo cases and products that MTM makes. I recently purchased a Bone Dry rust prevention rifle soft case from Alaska Ammo, and I've been purchasing those MTM ammo cases for quite a few years now. So when I get back, I'll share my thoughts on those. I won't be with you for the next 3 weeks. I'm headed to Zimbabwe, Africa, but you can expect great programming hosting Shooter's Corner next week. On August 10th will be Glenn Miller, and on August 17 and 24 will be Chuck Indereeden. Now, Melissa Burnett will be handling technical details and making sure the programs run smoothly. So on August 10, Glenn Miller's main topic will be brass case annealing, the whys and hows of annealing, the techniques, and the equipment needed. And on August 17, Chuck Indereeden will discuss C4 methodology. That's his company, C4TrainingGroup.com. is his website, C4 methodology on the fundamentals of marksmanship as it relates to the armed citizen defensive encounter. And on August 24th, Chuck plans to talk about his EDC, his everyday carry, and other methods of carry and considerations. And I am grateful for both Chuck and Glenn filling in for me, and I will personally listen to Chuck and Glenn's programs in the archives. We have a few announcements. Chuck Indereeden's Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes will resume in the fall. Sign up to be on his mailing list. Sign up at c4traininggroup.com. Send a message under Contact Us, and Chuck will let you know when new classes are scheduled. If you want to take a concealed handgun permit class, I would get on that mailing list, on Chuck's mailing list, because there haven't been any taught this summer. And I'm pretty sure come this fall and going into an election year, there's going to be a backlog. So get on that list. Chuck's final Defensive Handgun Level 2 class for those who have taken Defensive Handgun Level 1 or the Defensive Handgun for the Armed Citizen will be next weekend, August 12th and 13th. If you have any questions at all about Chuck's teaching or any of his classes you might want to take, call 844-966-4079 or go to his website and sign up for classes or ask to be on Chuck's mailing list, c4traininggroup.com. Glenn Miller's next NRA Metallic Cartridge Reloading class, October 14. There's two openings left. Sign up at the AIMCOM website or call Glenn at 907-347-1396. And last, the APOA, Alaska Peace Officers Association First Responder Memorial Shoot, is in 2 weeks, August 19. at the Fox Range. You do have to pre-register. The first 45 registrants get to shoot. The fee is $50. FAS, which is Fairbanks, Alaska Shooters, and APOA members shoot free. At the First Responder Memorial Shoot, participants will shoot 6 stages, and all of these stages are specific to real law enforcement occurrences or training. So that sounds like a lot of fun. You can find out more information at APOAonline.org. That's APOAonline.org, and you can register from that site. Well, on this day, August 3rd, we celebrate nuts. Grab a handful of nuts, any nut, cashews, walnuts, peanuts, pistachios, almonds, pecans. I always try...
We have a caller.
Okay. It's not a nut. It's a Shooter's Corner listener.
It's a Shooter's Corner, well, kind of a nut.
Well, we're going to talk about gun nuts in a minute. Okay, caller, you are on the line.
Hi, Laura. This is Steve Reed. How are you doing?
Hi, Steve. What do you have to say about the event coming up?
That it's August 19th. I'll just say that joining APOA costs less. That would be the financially smart way to do it.
You know,
There are associate membership that's $25 as opposed to the $50, and that covers it. The other thing I really want to say, though, is the Glock demo shoot that we did.
Yes.
That went really well. We ended up with about a little less than 20 people there. And Glock was gracious enough to come up and bring a bunch of guns in, provide the ammo. And we, on the other hand, provided the Fox Range provided the site, hosted the shoot. And then we, APOA, provided food and drink. We barbecued up, grilled some hot dogs and hamburgers and cold, ice-cold drinks and so forth. So,
oh, what fun.
Really good time.
Oh, work on another one of these for next year. Now that you've told everyone there's food. And
right.
No, that's going to be a lot of fun. And you're right. So it's $25, did you say, to join as an associate, to join APOA as an associate?
There's two levels of membership. There's associate, which would be kind of non-law enforcement related or in non-military related. By military, I mean active.
Yeah.
Yeah, not inactive law enforcement or military or anybody can join APOA. It's not limited.
Right.
The other status is active membership, and that's $35, and that's for people who are in active law enforcement or active military law enforcement, things of that degree. That includes corrections, that includes wildlife, that includes anything remotely law enforcement related, and that's $35. And the reason it's that much more is because there's also a death benefit with it.
Okay.
For a line of duty death.
So, yeah. Well, this is great information, and everyone can find out these different levels. Join up and register at the APOAonline.org. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
Okay, and I check that out, and there's a little, you hold your phone up to the little, I forget what it's called right now, and it'll take you right to the registration page.
It sure will, and for those high-tech enough to do that, I had to be shown how to do that.
Oh, I've learned. It seems to be the way everything's going now. Every time I buy something, there's no instructions. It's just one of those little codes, and I have to hold my phone over it to get to where I need to go to figure out how to use the thing. So I think it's the way of the world now.
I had to consult with our teenage daughter to show me, how do I do this? she's since grown up and left for college.
Now you have no help. Well, thank you so much, and I hope this event goes really, really well.
I think it will.
Okay, take care.
All right.
Bye. Okay, so I said we were going to talk about, let's see here, we're talking about nuts, and I was...
Pistachios?
Pistachios, almonds, or pecans. And I think, is it cashews that aren't really nuts? But anyway, I always try to find a firearms connection to the holiday du jour, but when I search for a connection between firearms and nuts, all I get is links for gun nuts. So from sunwarrior.com, quote, nuts are the hard-shelled fruit of certain plants. Conversely, seeds are a small edible plant enclosed in a seed coat. Most nuts are seeds, but not all seeds are nuts. Nuts generally are fruit that have a hard outer shell that doesn't crack and opens naturally, unquote. And I guess that's us, gun nuts. But in a good way, we train. We have a hard outer mental shell to assess the situation, and we don't crack naturally like a seed. For self-defense, we only use our guns when logically necessary, according to law, or when ready to shoot for the sport. And so, yes, we are gun nuts. But a peanut is not a fruit or a seed, and it certainly isn't a nut. Peanuts are vegetables, and technically they're legumes. They grow in pods underground. And I read that about 3,500 years ago, the original peanut was native to South America, likely Brazil or Peru, and peanuts were grown as far north as Mexico. Explorers took peanuts back to Spain, and the Spanish traders took the peanuts to Africa and Asia, and then traders brought the peanuts to North America in about the mid-1700s. And that is from a video on about peanuts. Now, peanuts were an important source of protein and oil for both the North and the South during the Civil War. There's a famous poster, and you can find it online, that reads, "Mr. Peanut Goes to War." And it was put out by the United States Department of Agriculture War Boards circa 1942. So Google "Mr. Peanut Goes to War." And I'll tell you all about that after our first break.
If silver salmon fishing in Valdez is in your plans, stop into Frontier Outfitters before you get on the road for all the fishing gear, licenses, and tags you'll need. From rods to reels, from lures to lines, and nets to sunglasses, Frontier Outfitters knows what you need for a successful trip. Why waste your valuable fishing time looking for gear in Valdez when it's at Frontier Outfitters today? Plus, marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Make Frontier Outfitters your first stop. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Summer has finally arrived, and with it comes summer chores and summer fun like camping, fishing, exploring, yard projects, and much more. Auto Trim Design can help with truck toppers and roof tents for your adventuring, Arctic spray and bed liners, WeatherTech floor mats, mud flaps, paint protection film to protect your truck, audio system upgrades to make your trip more enjoyable, and many more accessories. See us today to make your summer more enjoyable at Auto Trim Design, where we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you proudly by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in for a visit to their extensive fishing department. From rods to reels, lures to lines, you'll see fresh and saltwater as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaskan-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear, Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors, Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Ricky Colapietro. And Ricky, you've been helping out managing data on the ValdezFishDerbies.com website. So there's a lot of information there. One of the things people don't always know is that there are daily first and second place prizes. So we'll talk more about the website later. What are some of the daily prizes? Because I run into people I interview all the time and they are not aware that there's a daily. They know about the $10,000. They don't know about the daily prizes, but some of them are pretty good.
Sure, yeah. I'll cover some of the daily prizes for the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby. It's just an example. I love the Valdez Fish Derby's Columbia Rain Jackets. Those are valued at $125.
That's a big thing. People, they want to get that jacket because it's a status symbol.
It is so nice, too. You also get that Valdez Fish Derby's t-shirt that says you're a winner on it. Love that. We've got gift certificates to Easy Freeze, The Prospector, Fish Central, Fat Mermaid. There's charters, Lori. So once you catch a fish, you get to go out and catch more fish. There's Good Day Charters. They're worth $250. There's also certificates to Valdez Brewing and Magpie's Bakery. There's just so many prizes you can win, and they are worth way more than that $10 ticket that makes you eligible to win.
And we love to have people come back to Valdez. So
yeah,
you win a bunch of certificates. It's a great opportunity to come back. But daily prizes can be worth upwards of $300.
Absolutely.
Go fishing, Valdez. Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today with a high of 83. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, 57. High temperatures reach up to 85 tomorrow. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Saturday with daytime highs approaching 88. 86 Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Melissa Burnett at the controls. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. So, I had just talked about Mr. Peanut Goes to War, the poster, which you can find online. And so this is my connection to a legume masquerading as a nut on this day, because from the foodhistorian.com, quote, when you think of rationing in World War II, you may not think of peanuts, but they played an outsized role in acting as a substitute for a lot of otherwise tough-to-find foodstuffs, mainly other vegetable fats. When the United States entered the war in December 1941 after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, the dynamic of trade in the Pacific changed dramatically. The United States had come to rely on coconut oil from the then American colonial territory of the Philippines and palm oil from Southeast Asia for everything from cooking and the production of foods like margarine to the manufacture of nitroglycerin and soap. Vegetable oils like coconut, palm, and cottonseed were considered cleaner and more sanitary than animal fats, which had previously been the primary ingredient in soap, shortening, and margarine. But when the Pacific Ocean became the theater of war, all but domestic vegetable oils were cut off, unquote. So by the time we entered World War II, most of our peanut crop were being used to make peanut butter, and Americans ate it, but that was not their most popular food back then. What boosted peanuts' popularity was their use as a source of high-quality oil, and that was the peanuts' main selling point during World War II. And during World War II, peanut oil was processed to produce margarine. It was used in salad dressings. It was used to substitute butter and lard in cooking and frying. And this is another quote from the foodhistorian.com. But like other fats, its most important role was in the production of glycerin and nitroglycerin, a primary component in explosives, which brings us to our imagery in the propaganda poster, Mr. Peanuts Goes to War. Produced by the United States Department of Agriculture, it features an anthropomorphized peanut in helmet and fatigues, carrying a rifle, bayonet fixed, marching determinedly across the field with a tank in the background, unquote. And the poster is thought to be aimed at farmers rather than ordinary households. Here's another quote. This Mr. Peanut was tough, determined to do his part, and aid in the war effort. The USDA expected farmers, including African-American farmers, to do the same, unquote. So just Google Mr. Peanut Goes to War to see the poster, and this is not the planter's peanut. This is a different Mr. Peanut. Now, back in World War II, peanut oil could be processed to make glycerol, and that was used to make nitroglycerin, which was used in dynamite, according to what I've read. So today we celebrate Grab Some Nuts Day, or groundnut, or legume, the peanut that endears itself to the American people, not only providing nutrition for us, but helping us through World War II as an economical and available fat to be used in explosives. So, moving away from the peanuts, let's talk about gear. I want to spend some time talking about gun gear that I have been thinking about or have purchased and like or dislike, and that includes holsters, holster methods, vehicles, ammo storage cans, the gun transport cases, dry your gun the cases that automatically draw your gun for you. Speed loaders, certain types of gun safes, concealed carry purses, binocular harnesses. Whatever time allows us today and what we don't cover, I'll talk when I get back from my trip. So I decided I needed a new way to carry my binoculars, and I wanted a harness system that did not get in the way of anything else I might want to carry. Most importantly, my chest harness for bear protection guns. Now, being 5'2", I did not want a bino harness to feel overwhelmingly large, and I thought, depending on what I was doing, I might want choices in how I wanted to carry the binoculars that day. And I started looking at the top line models with all sorts of attachment loops and accessories, and I quickly changed direction and realized I wanted a more minimalist system. I really don't need to attach all sorts of add-ons. I'd been looking at the Kiyu Pro Bino Harness, and I suspect many of you will like that rig. It has side accessory pockets, a zipper pocket. It has foam shims for your binoculars. The lid is adjustable and quick and quiet to open. There's no Velcro. There's a video on the Kiyu website that explains all the features. It's a very nice unit. You can purchase additionally 11 accessories that Velcro or strap on to the bino pack. There is a bear spray holder, a Kiyu platypus 3-liter water container, a holder for your phone, a rangefinder, a lanyard for your rangefinder, and they offer an attachment for an ammunition holder flip pouch, a hydration rig, which I think is to put your platypus water bladder in, and a general accessory pocket that attaches underneath the bino pack, and a few more items. And the system's well thought out, and I think reasonably priced, the basic pro unit being $109, and the accessories additional, but of course, all are reasonably priced. And I also looked at the Ebrelstock Recon Modular Bino Pack, and you can find that at Ebrelstock. It's Ebrelstock. Sportsman's Warehouse has some form of them, maybe older models, and I actually already have one of those. So the Ebrelstock also offers many accessories for their modular bino pack using the MOLLE attachment system. Marsupial Gear makes a nice bino harness, as does Sitka Gear. I like the quality of both the Kiyu and the Ebrelstock, and I had wanted a bulkier system or solution, I would have purchased one of those two units. But I kept thinking as I looked at them that I wanted something much simpler. And I will say the plus side of those types of the fancier bino packs is that they have padding to protect your binos, and they are pretty much weatherproof. One negative for me is that I like to carry my revolver for bear protection in a 40 below Kydex chest holster for a number of reasons, and I don't want to give that arrangement up. So on some of the bino packs, you can attach a handgun harness or holster underneath, or actually behind the unit. Some are underneath and some are behind the unit, so it would be in the same position, but I just didn't think I would like that. So off I go to find a much more minimalist bino harness. And on that African hunt .org website I talked about a week ago, some of the experienced hunters there liked the Rick Young Outdoors Ultra Light Bino Harness, and I decided to investigate that. I purchased one. So go to rickyoungoutdoors.com to see them. What is it? It's more of a bino suspension system. And here's a quote from their website. The shock cord grips or hugs your body and transfers the weight of your binoculars equally around your shoulder and chest without digging into your skin or body, unquote. Now, the suspension rig is lightweight. The whole thing only weighs an ounce. It does not sag, according to their website. It can be worn in four different positions, and it stores tangle-free wrapped around your binos if you're not using them. It's just shock cord. It's so simple. It's just shock cord, so it's not hot or heavy to wear, and your binos will fit in those one of four positions, whichever one you choose, and it will fit tight against your body. And so when you're ready to use your binoculars, just pull the binos in front of your eyes, and the shock cord stretches easily, and it's advertised not to lose its electricity. Your binos, which are attached with fittings that come with the unit, they easily slide up and down the shock cord, so it easily slides. You pull your binos out, and it easily slides up the shock cord to your eyes. And because the binos are attached to the shock cord, there's a slight tension when they're at eye level, and that actually helps you steady them. And there is a sliding point for size adjustment, and that's at the back of your neck. It's just a little grommet thing that slides up and down. And I can easily adjust tension to depending on what I'm wearing, a heavier coat in the morning or maybe a t-shirt by afternoon. And there's no need to adjust two shoulder straps, side straps on those bulkier units. It's just one sliding fitting on this shot cord. Now, the Rick Young shot cord method allows you to secure the bottom of the binos with the shot cord so the binos don't move around as you walk or hike or run or some you're hunting. Sometimes you're crawling. Just loop the shot cord around the bottom of the binoculars to keep them tight against your body. And this is all shown in the video if you watch the video. The Rick Young Outdoors Ultralight Bino Harness, which is what I got, is $24.99. And I also purchased the Ultralight Bino Cover for protection in bad weather. And I think in certain weather and terrain conditions, a person may well want a full Bino Pack system with attachable accessories. But for my purposes right now, I decided I want that minimalist system. So it's the Rick Young Outdoors Ultralight Bino Harness. And carrying my binos in the side position, there won't be any interference with my revolver chest holster rig, and carrying my rifle in a sling on the opposite side, or if I have a backpack. And all that said, I've only had this system for a few months now, but so far I like it. And we're going to go to our half hour break, so stick with us.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep. In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low. He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in his saddle on a horse.
Follow the stories you hear on KFAR Radio online at KFARradio.com.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The Department of Justice is just announcing charges out of San Diego against two active duty members of the U.S. Navy. Apparently, this is over sensitive information tied to China. The indictment apparently was unsealed against U.S. Navy officials for passing sensitive information to that country. It also alleges U.S. Navy officials passed info on military activities in the Indo-Pacific. Former President Trump making his way to D.C. federal court to face an indictment, which includes four charges related to his alleged role in the January 6th Capitol riot. Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn is comparing the Justice Department's treatment of Hunter Biden and with former President Trump. She spoke on the Fox Business Network.
Attorney General Garland can no longer say there is one standard of justice. There are clearly two standards of justice.
The former president will be in court later today. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that Juneau police say they have recovered the body of a teenage boy who went missing while swimming near a popular hiking trail in southeast Alaska. A release from the Juneau Police Department says a group of three 17-year-old boys hiked out Saturday on the Treadwell Trail in the community of Douglas across the Gastineau Channel from Alaska's capital city to a man-made pond known as the Glory Hole to hike, dive, and swim. Police said one of the boys called 911 around 4:45 p.m. to report that one of them had jumped off a 25 to 30 foot cliff, briefly resurfaced, but never made it back to shore, prompting an emergency response from Capital City Fire Rescue. Searchers with the rescue team and Juneau Mountain Rescue could not find the teen, and police said that the search was made more difficult due to the steep and mountainous terrain around the swimming hole. The department requested help from the Alaska State Troopers around 5:40 p.m. on Saturday, according to AST. Once troopers were alerted to the mission, Juneau police said the body was recovered just past 2 p.m. on Sunday. Authorities say the family was
online at KFAR660.com.
Hey, Interior Alaska. Having trouble hoisting yourself into your truck? Auto Trim Design has a huge selection of running boards, Nerf bars that'll take the acrobatics out of getting into your truck. Having trouble keeping stuff from flying out of your truck bed? Auto Trim Design has a huge selection of tonneaus, soft, hard, folding, roll-up, gear nets, and Lear or ARE toppers. See us today at Auto Trim Design, where we will be here when the other guys are gone.
The only way to deal with weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Scent Blocker, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Ganner and Lacrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River. You're covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Melissa Burnett on the controls. KFAR Radio, please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. Okay, so we were talking about the bino harnesses, and I was talking about them not interfering with my bear protection gun chest holster rig and my bear gun, which is a Ruger GP100 357 4-inch barrel. And using a revolver brings up speed loaders. And for bear protection, I use Buffalo Bore 357 Magnum 180 grain hard cast lead flat nose at their gas check bullets. And if I'm somewhere where bears are the concern, my gun and my speed loaders will be loaded with Buffalo Bore. And I discussed speed loaders. It was back on February 11th and 18th of 2021. So February 11, 18, and 18, 2021, if you want to go back and listen to those, when Gun Test Magazine did a review and rating on several types of speed loaders. The title of that was Revolver Speed Loaders, Proven Designs and New Innovations. That was the Gun Test Magazine title of their article. And recently, the August 2023 issue of Gun Digest had an article titled HKS Speed Loaders. If you carry a defensive revolver, you're going to want one of these. Well, maybe you will, but I like a different brand, and I will tell you about that in a minute. The author of the article in Gun Digest Magazine Hardware Talk section, Patrick Sweeney, he starts out, quote, "I still remember the first time I saw an HKS speed loader in action. I was working at the gun room, and the boss, Mike Carbone, found and stocked them. And when we made a sale for a duty type or defensive revolver, which were most sales back then, being next to Detroit in the 1980s, he'd say, you'll want a speed loader with that. And most were dubious, as it was a new thing, and most were suspicious. Mike had a demo loader he'd pick up, hurled it across the shop floor to ricochet off the floor into a corner and off a strategically placed wooden ammo crate. The customer would pick it up, and then Mike would hold it up, turn the knob, and the rounds would drop free. Sale made," unquote. Now, I have not been so lucky. I have several times inadvertently twisted the knob on the top of the speed loader, taking it out of its keeper or out of my pocket, and over the years, I purchased a number of the HKS speed loaders for my revolvers. Speed loaders, as most of you know, are caliber and gun model specific. And I say most of you because there are a number of firearms users nowadays who have never handled or shot a revolver. I found that out when I was teaching. They have only handled semi-autos and might have no idea what a speed loader is. It's kind of like kids these days who grew up typing on computers and have no idea what a carriage return is. So, of course, it is not the HKS speed loader's fault that I occasionally drop all the cartridges out of the loader. That is on me, that I had to find speed loaders with a more positive detent. I needed a speed loader with slightly more resistance to an inadvertent turn, plus a speed loader with perhaps a beefier knob. So some years ago, I purchased a Guide's Choice leather chest holster from Diamond D Custom Leather in Wasilla. And that's a great holster, and I recommend it to those of you who love fine leather work and want a leather chest rig. I used it for several years, and here's just a quick darling. When I started teaching bear protection classes, I usually supplied the revolvers, which meant I needed to have holsters or harnesses to fit them. And there were a number of students that would come to class with their own firearm or one checked out from their agency. It was usually a Smith & Wesson 686 or a Ruger GP100, but we instructors felt their holsters were inappropriate for the job. So we were teaching local and also out-of-state geologists on grant here for field research, and the geologists did not want to carry shotguns, they wanted to carry handguns for a number of reasons. So When faced with having to purchase about 15 chest holster systems for the GP100s and the Smith & Wesson 686s, which I also used for teaching, I decided to see what Dave Pomeroy at 40 Below Holsters had. And that is when I got hooked on his chest holster rig and stuck with that ever since. So that's the end of my little darling. Back to the main story about speed loaders. On the Diamond D Custom Leather website is where I first saw the five-star firearm speed loaders. Quote, all speed loaders are made from high-grade billet aluminum. Each one is both light and durable and has a plastic bushing, which reduces the need for lubrication. They are custom designed to fit models listed and unquote, and I think I counted about 42 models and calibers. These have a lifetime models, these five-star firearm speed loaders. They have a lifetime warranty, and Diamond D makes their leather speed loader pouches to match the size of the speed loader. So I purchased several for my GP100, and I was happy with the five-star speed loaders. They were my favorite, and I would tell my students about them. I would pass them around to the students so they could test the difference between the five stars and the HKS speed loaders. And I felt the five stars took ever so slightly more effort to engage, and this would prevent accidentally unloading the cartridges, which was what was happening to me. Now, the knob on the HKS was just slightly higher than on the five-star. The HKS knob has a rough grip surface on the side, and the five-star has a smooth surface, but it has finger grooves cut into the knob. And I thought the five-star had slightly more positive twist to it, and I like that. So I occasionally like to see what's at the Nighthawk Custom website, check up on what they're producing, and I'm also on their email list. And a few years ago, they came out with their own custom Korth speed loader. It's very pricey, $49.99 each. They not only fit the Nighthawk Korth, which most of us can't afford, but they fit the Smith & Wesson, a number of models, the 686 is one of them, and the Ruger GP100 and Colt Python models. And, of course, I have the 686s and the GP100s, and that's what we were teaching with. So I thought, why not? So I forked out $49.99 for two, so that was double that for the Korth speed loaders, and now those are my favorites. And the twist is very positive because it has two instead of one detents. And for ergonomics, the knob stem is higher than the others, very easy to grab. The finger grooves are deeper cut than on the five-star, and I think the Korth speed loader from Nighthawk Custom is the best of what I've tried, provided you have the guns that it fits. And the only issue is with the higher knob stem, the leather flaps on your leather speed loader pouches might be too short, and they won't reach all the way over to snap, so you might need a few new speed loader pouches. And that is all I have to say about speed loaders for revolvers, but for those of you not using revolvers, what are your options for loading your semi-auto magazines? Mag Lula's Up Lula comes to mind, and now there are Speed Bees. Speed Bees at Speed and then Bees, B-E-E-Z. With the exception of 22s, I suspect most of us using a magazine loading assistance tool are using Mag Lula's Up Lula's. And I have several, I actually have four of them, and I have used them for years. And since most of us are familiar with them, not much needs to be said about the Up Lula's, except that, did you know they come in colors these days? But there is a new loader out, a Speed Bees, and maybe it's not new, but I just recently saw it a few months ago on the 6-Hour website. I started to talk about them a few weeks ago at the end of the program, and I didn't have time to finish, so I will finish now. I like I said, I first saw them at the Sig Sauer website. They're under accessories, and you can also go to the speedbees.com website and learn more about them. And the Speed Bees is what's called a lever loader. And what is interesting about these is that your magazine locks into the Speed Bees just like you were putting that magazine into your gun. You'll hear the positive click locking it in. And this is different than the Up Lula or other box loader aids that you set on top of the magazine and exert downward pressure. You don't do that with the Speed Bees. With the Speed Bees, you don't need a flat surface or your knee to rest the magazine on while you load it. Just hold it in the air and work the scissors motion of the loader lever. And after you snap your magazine into the Speed Bees unit, just put two fingers in the rings, just like you were working a scissors. And as you move those scissors levers up and down, put a round in and it's seated into the magazine. And to release the magazine from the Speed Bees, just press the magazine release, just like on your semi-auto gun. So I read reviews, and most reviews like the Speed Bees. Most thought it was the fastest loader they had used. A few said their fingers got sore. A few others said it felt awkward at first, but they got used to it, and now they loved it. And for me, I like that I can use my Mag Lula Up Lula on any single or double stack magazine for 9mm, 357 SIG, both of which I do use, but that same unit will work on 10, 40, 45 ACP. I just don't shoot those. So a single Mag Lula Up Lula handles multiple calibers, where with the Speed Bees, it's gun caliber specific because the magazine snaps in just like on your gun. So Mag Lula now has an add-on accessory for the Up Lula, which they call an aligner insert. And this is for single stack magazines like the 1911, so the single stacks don't wiggle around so much when you're loading them with the original Up Lula. They even have a baby Lula for the 22s. And as I said, the Speed Bees loader units are specific to a gun model and caliber, so your magazine will fit without any type of adapter. And if you go to the Speed Bees website, you'll see a video of the unit in use, and there are lots of YouTube videos showing usage too. Mag Lula has videos on their website. You have to click on one of the Up Lula units, and you can get to that. When you get to that page, scroll to the bottom, and there are normally two videos. The second video is the one I like. It's a little cartoon magazine chasing a cartoon finger, and it has a CGI, a computer-generated image of how the internals of the unit works. The first video shows how to use the Up Lula to unload your magazines, too, and I have had Up Lulas for years, and I never knew you could unload a magazine, too. On the back of the Up Lula, you'll see what they call an unloading tooth, and all these years, I had no idea that that was on there. So, more on Speed Bees. They make a shaker loader that in seconds loads your Ruger Mark 1, 2, 3, 4, 22, 45, Smith & Wesson Victory, Browning Beckmark, and Beretta Neos 22 magazines. And you can look at the video on their site how that works. It's only $17. Glenn Miller talked about the shaker type loaders for the 22 caliber a long time ago on Shooter's Corner. And we're going to go to break, and I'll finish this up around the corner.
Summer has finally arrived, and with it comes summer chores and summer fun like camping, fishing, exploring, yard projects, and much more. Auto Trim Design can help with truck toppers and roof tents for your adventuring, Arctic Spray and Bedliners, WeatherTech floor mats, mud flaps, paint protection film to protect your truck, audio system upgrades to make your trip more enjoyable, and many more accessories. See us today to make your summer more enjoyable at Auto Trim Design, where we will be here when the other guys are gone.
When you go so far up that river that you need an airboat, that is very far. You gotta make sure that airboat is working perfectly before you leave. 100%, if you know what I mean. Call Rogers Auto Repair. They know airboat maintenance because they've been using and maintaining both airboats and inboards for decades. Put your airboat into top shape before you disappear up your favorite skinny little creek in Alaska's wilderness. Rogers Auto Repair. Give them a call. 907-479-6665.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today, with daytime highs approaching 83. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 57 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 85. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Melissa Burnett at the controls, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today or any of the gear that we're talking about. So what Glenn and I have is a model called the Ultimate Clip Loader, and I learned about the Ultimate Clip Loader from Glenn, and then I bought one, and it's for the Ruger Mark 2, 3, and 4, the 22-45, and the Browning Beckmark pistols. And the unit holds 50 rounds. You just pour 50 rounds or a little box of ammo in it. And you can load a 10-round magazine in about 3 seconds. So you get those at McFadden.com, M-C-F-A-D-E-N, McFadden.com, for the ultimate speed loader. And, of course, the Speed Bees version, the shaker loader, is on the Speed Bees website. And back to higher caliber loading aids, the Upalula website has a disclaimer: may not load the last round in a few types of magazines, unquote. And I think there is no help for me to get those last two rounds into my SIG P365 X Macro Comp that should hold 17. But even with the Upalula, I can only get 15 rounds in it. And much as I love those SIG guns, as much as I think SIG makes a fine product, I have to wonder, when we purchase what we think is a 17-round magazine, we're really purchasing a 15-round magazine in terms of usage. Okay. So a little bit more about gear. I am sad to say that, in my opinion, there are still, after so many years, not great choices in concealed carry purses for women. There are more choices in styles. None are high-end, and most are not leather. Synthetic leather, which is called PPU, polyurethane, that doesn't hold up very well in our winters. In our severe cold, it'll crack and tear.
Most of them are sparkly and pretty.
And sparkly and pretty, yeah. They're just not.
They're not purposeful.
Yeah,
they're sparkly and pretty.
Yeah. And I don't like them.
No, okay, me neither.
And I do have some beautifully finished concealed carry purses from Galco, who makes nice leather holsters, but Galco stopped making or carrying a selection of them that they had years ago. So some years ago, taking a personal protection instructor's course, we were certified in how to teach purse carry. And I thought over the years I might like to do that for the ladies in town, hold concealed purse carry classes. There are positions and techniques to learn. And what stopped me from holding those classes is that, if I'm honest with myself, purse carry, even carrying in a purse made specifically for concealed carry, is fraught with issues. And it is a necessary means of carry for some women, but it is not optimal to, it's not an optimal way to carry. And not great ways to carry in purses, because you've got zippers, snaps, the gun is floating around in there in many cases. The holster attachment may or may not be a good one. And you have to, what do you have to mess with to get the gun out? And
well, hang on, bad guy, I got to unzip my purse real quick.
Yeah. And that affects, we'll get into this. And that affects, first, the speed of the draw, your zipper compartments, opening a flap, the angle that that gun is in your holster, what hand do you have to reach? Is it ambidextrous, or you've got to be facing a certain way? And second, the position of the draw, the side pocket, straight out the top, under the flap. And that's including the position you're standing in to physically draw that gun, and what angle your body is to the threat for you to draw your gun pointing forward towards the threat and not sweeping it across the bystanders or the unknown, what you don't know is behind a backstop. So one attachment method that circumvents some of these issues, is a safe way to carry and allows one to draw the gun quickly with practice, is a Kydex trigger guard holster with a lanyard attachment inside the purse. And that lanyard attachment takes some thought. Trigger guard holsters or minimalist holsters have been around quite a while for the men who wear them attached to belts. GunGoddess.com has the best selection for carry purses I've come across. None are high-end for purse knobs, and none are ones that I like, but quite a few are acceptable if you have to settle for a carry gun purse. Most of those purses have a Velcro attachment inside and a padded compartment, so your gun is holstered. Drawing it out quickly and safely is the problem. Now, GunGoddess.com also has trigger guard holsters, which you could attach inside a purse, and a trigger guard holster might be the best choice for purse carry. I have one. Price-wise and for personal service, I think it's best to go to 40 Below Holsters off Cushman. They made mine, and they made my Kydex trigger guard. Put your own lanyard on it, because only you know how long it should be and what it will attach to inside of your purse. There'll be a hole in it for a lanyard. And if need be, have a grommet installed through the bottom of your purse with an O-ring on the inside of the purse, so that when you draw your gun, the upward pressure of the draw that it takes to pull the gun out from the trigger guard will not pull up the bottom of your purse, emptying the contents all over the ground. And even with a trigger guard holster, you need to have a way to keep that gun in a solid grip up ready position and not floating around in your purse. A better solution for favorite purses you already have that aren't gun purses is to use a Kydex holster unit like the type that are used on belly bands. And that will have a flat back covered with Velcro that mates to the Velcro on the belly band, but you can purchase Velcro as a sheet and do the same setup in your purse. So GunGoddess.com sells adhesive Velcro to affix a holster to your glove compartment in your vehicle, the wooden side frame of your bed or nightstand, or inside your purse. And I have purchased these types of Velcro on Kydex holsters from Crossbreed Holster, but I am sure Kevin at 40 Below Kydex in town can make them for you. And all that said, I believe your best choice is always going to be a holster on your body. And that is another problem for women, especially those who don't wear belts or belts that will bear the weight of a gun. And to solve that problem, Enigma Holsters to the rescue. And I will be purchasing an Enigma holster set up as soon as I get back from my trip. This thing is like taking a class. You kind of have to read, do a lot of reading to see what you're going to need. So I'm going to start on this and hopefully I'll get it finished. I've been wanting to talk about these Enigma holsters for a while. For myself and for really many others that I know, especially people who are just starting out with their concealed carry journey, finding a holster they're happy with is not all that easy. And I have a large box of reject holsters. They seemed like a good idea at the time, but the reality of wearing them just didn't work out. And sometimes it had to do with the size of the gun. It just wasn't going to be a size of the gun that I could carry on a holster. And most of these rejects have nothing to do with the holster. My leather holsters are mostly Galco brands, and they're beautifully made. My Kydex holsters are custom made from three places, 40 Below right here in Fairbanks, Crossbreed Holsters, or purchased from Sig Sauer specifically for my Sig guns. And actually, one of my favorite holsters for my Glock 19, which I don't carry now, but it was a cheap plastic sort of thing from the Glock website. That's a great holster. I've enjoyed working with 40 Below with Kevin Pomeroy here in Fairbanks because I can somewhat customize what I want to my personal needs. What I wear normally dictates how I carry a concealed gun. Of course, that has a lot to do with the activity I'm involved with, too. And with the exception of my bear protection gun, I am now all in with those with the SIG P365 line. So the same gun, but different sizes of the same type of gun, hence multiple holsters crafted multiple ways I might carry each of those guns. And today, if I look back on the problem of years of holster accumulation with other guns, I realize that the process did not have to be an expensive trial and error process. The problem was that I did not correctly define my needs.
We have a caller.
Oh, caller, you are on the line.
Hello, Laura. Yeah. You're talking about the concealment purses. Just gave me an idea.
Yeah.
Do you remember those old coin purses? I think they're still made. They're just not as common today. Where it's like an elliptical shaped thing.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Right. But I was thinking, in cases where it would be impractical to carry even a purse, I wonder if there are any 22 or even .17 caliber. Pistols or pistol mechanisms where you could put that inside one of those coin purses and it would operate just like if you know when you would go to open the coin purse,
yeah,
where you squeeze on the end of it and it would fire through one of the holes there.
Yeah, you know, so when you think about this is a whole longer discussion. I see what you're talking about, but I wouldn't recommend that. You may not have two hands to operate anything if you need to pull your gun. Somebody may have grabbed one side of you or from behind you. You've got to be able to grab a gun in its proper position. The minute you put your hand on that grip, it has to be a solid grip that you can draw that gun and be able to use it. You can't be fooling around with one hand opening the zipper or one hand opening what you're talking about, that kind of purse that you squeeze and it opens. And you're not necessarily going to have two hands. So you have to have that gun in a very stable carry position, and that's the problem for a lot of us with what we wear and the layers and all of that. So,
but I was just thinking cases where even a purse would might attract trouble, something like that you could keep in a pocket or something.
Yeah, well, pocket, there are some, I haven't used them, but there are some holsters, sticky holsters. They're called sticky holsters for pocket carry. You know, that's a longer discussion. We can talk about all this when I get back.
Okay.
Right now, I wanted to let people know about this Enigma holster so they could look it up and read about it, because I am going to purchase one as soon as I figure out exactly what I need from their system, and then I can talk about it after I've had some time to use it. So let me spell that out for people. And thank you for calling. I always appreciate your ideas.
Thank you. I just wanted to touch base with you real quick.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a good idea, but when you kind of think through the situation you might be in, it probably won't work.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So Enigma is E-N-I-G-M-A. So if you want to look at that, I'm going to talk more about it here until we run out of time. So my
problem. About 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay, let me go through this to entice you to look at that. My problem was I wasn't correctly defining my needs. And the needs, according to the Enigma system, are the make and model of the gun, what you will use the gun for, what you will wear, and what activity you will be doing while you're using that gun, our personal body type and our desired comfort level, and considering our body type, where are you going to carry that gun? And I had been thinking about and have learned that all five of those items have to be considered as a unit, not individually. And what got me started was stumbling on that Enigma holster made. It's made by PHLSTER. So Google Enigma or just Google PHLSTER. And folks, I'm going to miss you for the next 3 weeks, but you are going to be in great hands with Glenn for the first week and Chuck for the next 2 weeks. So
we're partying without Laura.
Yeah. I'm going to go take pictures of hippopotamus for.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, folks, and we'll see you. I'll see you. I'll talk to you in 4 weeks. Okay.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.